So mom and dad's dog is pretty smart. She's able to count at least as high as the number of people she thinks are supposed to be at home. So if I stay over with my parents overnight, get up in the morning, go make some coffee, talk to them, dog is happy for a while. But then she disappears. And if you listen, you start hearing a little bit of whimpering, a little bit of whining, because she's laying right in front of my brother's door, who isn't up yet, wanting him to get up so that all of her people will be together. Just last week, I went over to mom and dad's after the Sunday masses, and I was tired. I said, hey, I'm just going to take a quick nap. And so went to the guest room. I laid down for half an hour. And I go and I get up and I open the door, and I have to stop because I almost step on the dog, who has laid herself with her rear end against the door, watching, just watching out, making sure nobody else comes in. What's interesting is that lines up actually with the image that we have of Christ as the Good Shepherd. Maybe that doesn't do it for you. Maybe you're not a dog person, so a different image. When I was in second grade, I broke my femur, and I ended up in the hospital for 4 weeks in traction. Well, now I do the math, and I realize my parents were a little bit older than me. And each night for those 4 weeks, they alternated who would stay at the hospital and sleep in one of those uncomfortable hospital chairs that they try and pass off as beds. They did that for 4 weeks so that I wouldn't be afraid of being alone in the hospital. Jesus is referred to as the Good Shepherd in our tradition because of the way that he speaks. But we, since we didn't live in Jesus' time, don't always catch where he is both affirming and challenging the image of shepherds in the day. So one thing Jesus says, I am the sheep gate. Maybe we immediately think of a wooden gate, and we try and equate Jesus and a gate, and it doesn't quite click with us. That's because that they didn't have gates in every sheepfold. Instead, you'd have a very high stone wall in a circle that you would bring the sheep into, and then there was a gap that was the doorway. And the shepherd, at night, would lay across that gap to sleep. Nothing was going to be able to climb the walls, so if it was going to get in, it would literally have to go through the shepherd. And when we're talking about things trying to get in, we're talking about wolves, coyotes, mountain lions, bears. Like, these are dangerous animals. And so Jesus affirms that he is the Good Shepherd that does not run away from those things, but instead places himself in the breach between those forces and his sheep. We're also familiar with the image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, going after the lost sheep, the one lost sheep out of 99 then that remain faithful. And there's some humor in the way Jesus tells the story. Who among you wouldn't go after the one sheep? Well, nobody would. Because it's one sheep. That's bad math if you're talking about economics. Not to mention the fact that that sheep was either stubborn enough to wander away or dumb enough to wander away. You really want that as part of the flock. But then, not only does Jesus show that the impulse of God is to go after that one sheep, but he says he places it on his shoulder and brings it back. And we go, okay, that's nice, and we see all sorts of images down the Christian tradition that affirms that, and it looks sweet, it looks cute. What we don't know is that shepherds who found themselves in that sort of a situation, they would break the leg of a sheep like that. They would hobble it so that it couldn't wander off again. Jesus doesn't make any mention of that. He's challenging the image of how God shepherds. compared to the way human beings shepherd. And all of these different images tie together with this kind of one key passage about shepherding from John that we have as our gospel today. I know my sheep and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. So I've given four different images so far, some from my own life, some from Scripture. We ask the question then, what is the image of God that we operate from? Fancy seminary terminology is, what is our operative theology? Right, most of us would probably get an A in CCD. We know that God loves us. We know that God will forgive us if we ask. But how many of us actually live day-to-day life as if that's true? Or do we operate from a different buried image in our heart? How many of us are afraid that because God's had to come and save me once again, he's going to hobble me? He's fed up with me because I'm fed up with myself. So how could he not want to lash out? Or how many of us sheep feel like it's our responsibility to fight the mountain lions, the wolves, the coyotes, the bears, because we aren't sure that the shepherd is gonna show up? Or maybe we are a little past that, but think, I've got to be a really good sheep so that he'll stay there, so that he'll keep me safe. What kind of rest is that? Always laying down with one eye open to make sure that the shepherd is still in fact there. There's so many different ways that we can get our image of God distorted that we have to begin with passages like this. That God is greater than all. Full stop. We might be afraid of the forces of evil in the world, the impact that they have on our country, on our church, on our communities, on our families, in our own heart. But that's where we have to ask the question, do we believe that God is greater than all, as Jesus says? Or are we operating out of an image, I don't know, evil is pretty strong, and so before we know it, our operative theology is that God and the evil one are equal. And so we're afraid. There's one more image of a shepherd that's challenging, but that our Lord affirms. And so shepherds, even today in Israel, not a fertile place like Iowa, has to keep an eye on the sheep as they're grazing, because sheep don't know a whole lot about agriculture. And so they find grass, and they keep eating, and they will eat down to the root because it's there. So the shepherd has to move them to a different pasture before they finish the grass that's in front of them. I imagine for a sheep that's pretty confusing. We don't have to imagine too hard because it's confusing for us too. Well, wait a minute, why would God let this bad thing happen to me or happen in our world? Why would God challenge me to let go of this good thing, to trust it to him? It's feeding me. It's nourishing me. It's not bad. And this is really where, again, the act of faith comes in. Do we believe what Jesus says about the Father, that he is greater than all, and that his desire is to bring us to eternal life? Do we believe that we are safe and that God is good? and that he is powerful enough to take care of us. We can be so afraid of kind of Hollywood evil, The Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, whatever it might be, and think only that that's the way the devil acts. But brothers and sisters, the devil would prefer that we operate out of our damaged images of God more than all sorts of spooky haunted house stuff. Because spooky haunted house stuff can drive us to God, reveal his power. But if we start doubting that God is safe, or that he's powerful enough to care for us, or that he even wants to, then we don't draw close. Then we are alone. Not because God doesn't want to be with us, but because we wander away. So this Good Shepherd Sunday is vital for us to hear the good news that the Father is greater than all, and no one and nothing can take us from the Father's hand. So as we continue with Mass, let's allow the Holy Spirit to sift our hearts, to ask the question, what is the image of God that I'm operating from? And then as we draw close to Jesus, who gives himself so generously in the Eucharist, can we ask him, as he nourishes us once again, to heal those images that are damaged or warped in our hearts, to strengthen those images that are good, and to increase our faith in God's power and his love, to allow us to be able to rest freely in the shepherd's care, knowing that God is good, that he's powerful enough to protect us, and that he desires to. And in that may we find our peace.